me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 67. Thank you, Kevin Garnett, for telling me that anything is possible. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Cause no one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Little brother, look around. What's up, Internet? This is the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 67. Recorded on January the 12th, 2017, brought to you by the Happy Hour Network and RayRay.net. My name is Ray Morality, also known as RayRay. And as you very well know, I am an NBA online writer, so most of the podcasts you'll hear are NBA talk. But really, I talk about whatever I want, whether it's other sports and wrestling and anime and whatever in life, basically to keep this podcast fundamental. I probably said that on the other intro I did for my guest, who happens to be AJ Christian of Haha Hoops, and of course he does a section with me, kicking it old school with Ray Ray and EJ. We're gonna talk about a lot of things, such as our president-elect, the NFL, my used-to-be addiction on the NFL, Gal Pals, of course, and the 49ers being awful, and his pick for NBA MVP at the moment. So before I go on with this little conversation, just let me remind you that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the show on Stitcher and RayRay.net, and this show is being syndicated by the Happy Hour Network. Follow me on Twitter at the No Look Pass. Follow the podcast Twitter at RayRay is Fun, because you cannot fit RayRay is Fundamental for a Twitter handle. It's too many characters. Anyway, let's go ahead to this interview / conversation. EJ Christian, not kicking it old school, just kicking it period. Scratch. Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 67. This is Ray Morality, also known as Ray Ray. And my guest... from Haha Hoops, Earnestly Thinking Podcast. This is Earnestly Fundamental Part 2, I suppose. I was supposed to have them a lot earlier than this, but things happen. Christmas, New Year's, and I insisted on having Matt Moore as my first pick of the year. But here he is. He's back. EJ Christian, my partner in crime, and kicking it old school. What's up?
Yeah, now we're just kicking it like the entire episode. I got a whole episode myself for the first time in over a year. It's awesome.
Right. Yes. Yes. So, a lot going on. This is going to go, I guess, on my format now, because the last time we did it was under your format, so... But nevertheless, we keep it earnestly fundamental here. So, the usual, as you guys know, I usually talk NBA, but really, it's all about life, other sports, anything that you want to talk about, because this podcast is fundamental. So, how's life, EJ?
Life is good. I can't complain for the most part. I mean, I got another baby on the way. My wife and I are having another boy due mm-hmm. in April, our second child. I mean, things are good. I can't complain. You know, it's the world is always evolving. So it's always moving, no matter what. I mean, if you don't stick with it, you can get lost. But I try to go with the flow. You know what I mean? I just try to go with the flow and just let live, you know, and just, keep my nose clean and all that. And, you know, that's all you gotta do to live, man.
Yeah, speaking of trying to keep our noses clean, but here's the thing, we are almost a week away from a new president, right?
Yeah.
We don't really talk politics much here, but this affects me, this affects you, this affects everybody, as never before, because I have never seen this many people be scared of our country. Like, never be scared of a president like this. And he had his first press conference, I guess, in a long time, as president-elect. And he's out there blabbering and doesn't even feel like he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, it's his first,
how do you feel about
first press conference in 6 months. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal, obviously. And I'll be honest with you, you're not really big into politics. I'm actually a little bit of a nerd. I actually do follow politics. I actually do, I won't say I talk politics all the time on my podcast, but we do touch on some of those subjects once in a while on the show, have guys come on there and we'll give our opinions about certain things, whatnot. But yeah, it was a very, let's just say, wearing election cycle. Very entertaining, circus-like, scary. You can name, you can put any adjective there, any verb. I mean, whatever. It all applies. I've you know, been a part of like five of them, and by far the craziest one I've ever been a part of. And I'm certainly, anybody who says that themselves, who's way older than I am, will tell you this is the craziest election cycle we ever had in American history. So it's just, like I said, you go with the flow. But like I said, it is depending on who you sided with and how you feel about the result, it is a scary time. It's also a time to also be vigilant too, and also move forward and try to, you know, keep a positive, you know, view going forward at least, you know. That's the way I embrace it, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. How is it affecting you personally? Because, okay, I mean, we're both minorities. I mean, let's not get away from that. Like, you know, everyone knows Trump is a racist. Like, everybody knows that, right?
Right.
But has it affected you? Like, are you scared of this entire thing? You mentioned that you embraced it, but, like, is there a little part of you that's just like, oh, wow, what if I walk into, make a wrong turn, and then suddenly it's okay to be racist because Trump's the president?
Right. Well, okay, full disclosure, first off, I'm a moderate. I'm not a Democrat or Republican. I'm actually a former Republican, but years ago. But I did vote Obama in the last elections. I voted for Hillary in this election. Knowing now, I say that knowing that I was never really a big Hillary supporter either. But my logic in the election this year was the fact that I live in Florida, and Florida is the battleground state of all the 7 or 8 states that were toss ups and have been toss ups every year, every 4 years rather. I felt like it was necessary to pick a side because of the fact that our votes count. Like if you live in California, New York, you have the comfort of voting independent, of voting Green Party, because you know 99% of the time you're going to go Democrat. Or if you live in Texas and you don't share the same views either way, you can still go Green Party knowing that that's going to go Republican every time. It has been for the last 40, 50, 60 years. But scared? I'm scared. I'm concerned, yes. And I'm definitely, I really embraced this election cycle, even the aftermath of Trump winning the election. I've actually embraced it as a circus, as entertainment, and tried to keep things light. Because if you take this stuff too seriously, man, you will let this eat at you. And there's a lot of folks I'm close to that have taken this seriously, that have lost friendships and relationships with people because of this election. And look, it's politics. I respect both sides of both views. Cause I'm a moderate. I have views on both ends. At the end of the day, what I do miss really is the fact that I remember growing up in an era where no matter what you were, Republican or Democrat, you were still able to still be friends and still be able to hang out and not have to worry about, you know, oh well, this guy, I hate this guy now because he has different views from what I do, and that's what I miss. Now everything's so polarizing, and social media too allows that as well too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's a good thing that you were raised around an area where it's like, you know, no matter what color you are, you're fine, right? Because I haven't faced that racism either. I mean, I live in Southern California where diversity is super embraced, right?
Yeah.
So, but even when I lived in Oregon for 1 year, where it's predominantly white, and I had never been so intimidated in my life because everyone there is white, right?
Right.
But, yeah. But I've been in just fine. I didn't have a single bad incident in Oregon. So, as long as, like, if I stay within my parameters, I'm fine. Like, if I stay in Southern California, I should be fine. But if I go to, like, say, I don't know, Kansas or Missouri or something like that, I think I'd be in trouble. Because I'm not white. That's just racist. That's how it goes, right?
Right. Oregon is a very liberal state, though. I mean, that's gone quite a while now. I mean, it's not liberal like California liberal, New York liberal, but it's definitely, you know, a blue state. And, you know, if you look around, you know, if you look at the map, really, and see how it breaks down, like, predominantly the coast are mostly liberal. Like, you on the East Coast, you may get, you know, the Carolinas and the middle states, but from New York up, you know, Pennsylvania up is predominantly blue, although this past election, Pennsylvania went red. And, you know, Florida is always in the middle, you know. So, but this is a weird election, too, because I, you know, I think the reason Hillary Clinton lost, and I had my podcast reference, because you know, I remember myself and one of our contributors to the podcast, Mark Francois, we do like every couple weeks a little a pod on the election back when Bernie Sanders was involved in the primaries. And I remember saying to him, you know, I'm not sure Hillary is a good enough candidate because there's a lot of baggage there. And even though Donald Trump himself had baggage that he was gaining on the campaign trail, you know, we were all duped in a little bit too. The polls were definitely wrong. But we should have known from the get-go that Hillary Clinton was the wrong candidate. The reason Donald Trump is president is down to one thing. The wrong Democratic candidate ran on the ticket. I still believe if Bernie Sanders didn't get screwed, which he did get screwed, by the way, which everybody acknowledges, Republicans, Democrats, all acknowledge, if he didn't get screwed, I'm confident that Bernie Sanders will actually win the election because he's a lot more likable candidate than Donald Trump is. Suffice to say that Donald Trump is, to a lot of people's eyes, more likable than Hillary Clinton. It's weird, I know, but that's what it came down to.
Yeah, so here's the thing, like, when I saw him run for president, like, maybe a year earlier or something like that, I was like, I can't take this guy seriously, which is, by the way, the Democratic Party made a mistake on, that they didn't take him seriously, but even still, like, you look at his credentials, it's like, okay, so he was on The Apprentice, we all know he's racist, he cheated on Marla Maples. You know, all these things are like coming to my head. You know what I mean? And I was like, this guy's running for president?
But Ray, I will say this, though. Like the fact that, and look, I know she still won a popular vote, but at any other election, any other candidate runs on that ticket with Donald Trump, Donald Trump is crushed. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. That should tell you, the fact that you had all that in Donald Trump, you know, all the stuff he said on the campaign trail, all the things he's done, all the vile things he said, you know, over the course of the last 15, 16, 17 months, and even before that, you know, years before that. The fact that he still won and swung Democratic states his way in the Rust Belt should tell you just how disliked Hillary Clinton is, that they will still go that route. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, one last thing about this entire disaster, basically. Did he last 4 years?
Was that?
Did he last the 4 years? Do you think Trump lasts the 4 years?
Yeah, he'll last 4 years. And to be honest with you, I hope he does because, you know, people sit there. This is my personal opinion. People say that Trump's scary. In my opinion, Mike Pence is scarier. Yeah. I want Donald Trump to be in office and healthy for 4 years, at least. And look, Ray, here's the bottom line. All the shenanigans aside, all the circus stuff aside, I am still rooting for Donald Trump to do well. You have to, because at the end of the day, it's all about country. It's all about running the country. And he is a leader. Mm-hmm. This is fact now. In about 9 days, he will be sworn in as the President of the United States. We have to, at the very least, respect the office. And I do think, you know, look, I've been saying all along that I hope he is the most liberal Republican we've ever had, and that could be so. Although some of his cabinet picks, man, leave left me desired. But you have to. But my stance on this is that you should root for the president to do well and at least keep us safe, at least run the country to some degree of class and dignity, the way Obama did the last 8 years. And let's hope that Donald Trump at least keeps his sanity for at least 4 years, if not longer. I mean, bottom line. And while this is going on, the Democrats have something to do. It's that simple.
Right. Yeah. I always say, though, that I think eventually me being so positive over this entire thing, like, we'll eventually be okay. But you do what you must do. Take a stand. You know, volunteer in your communities. Respect the good people out there, and, you know, eventually we'll overcome this, what looks like an awful presidency coming up.
Well, Here's the thing: if you're anti Donald Trump, like, here's the thing you have to be happy about. He's so polarizing that people are going to watch his every step. You know, he won't be able to get away with a lot of stuff. And if he doesn't come through on promises that he made for moderates like myself, and and people who were Democrats that vote for him, like, if he doesn't come through that, he may not last more than 4 years.
Well, I don't know. He doesn't seem to know anything. Like, whenever he's out there speaking, it's like you just want to, I don't know, it's like nails on a chalkboard, you know what I mean? Funny how people out there are like, man, Romney would be nice right now. George Bush would be nice right now. You know, so.
Yeah, like I said, if you fall to the side, you just want him to run a country that is classy, that is, you know, that holds the office of the presidency, you know, some of the dignity. And, you know, and that's that. I mean, that's all we hope for and pray for. I mean, but, you know, like I said, I'm not totally encouraged by what I've seen so far post-election with some of the things he's been saying on Twitter and whatnot. And look, and Ray, you know me. I'm one of those guys that keeps a very open mind about a lot of things. You know, I vote for Hillary Clinton. I reluctantly vote for Hillary Clinton. I don't like her necessarily. But I did that. So I thought she was probably the best person of the two. But that's that. You know, we hope that he does a good job and at least doesn't take his country to shit. That's all we hope for at this point.
Right. Checks and balances. Checks and balances. Checks and balances.
Absolutely. That is the word. That is the term for the next 4 years that we all need to see when we discuss the situation.
Hey, this is Russ Bankson from Complex, and you're listening to Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast. Watch out for puns.
Checks and balances. So the Chargers moved to LA.
Yeah, I mean, we've at this point, you know, it's not a surprise anymore, really. I mean, this has been rumored for the last 3 years, and it's game momentum, and we knew, like, by this year, if they didn't get a deal on a new stadium in San Diego, that the Spanos family would indeed look to. Greener pastures, I guess, and Los Angeles for some reason seems to be the elixir for both the Rams and now the Chargers. It's weird. I don't get it.
It's weird. We went from two football teams to zero, and in a matter of 2 years, two teams again. So, wow.
Ray, I consider LA almost like a second home to me because I'm there every year at least to visit my family. Maybe I'm in the dark here, but do people really care about football in Los Angeles?
They do, but not for their own team. Like, football royalty here is the USC Trojans. You know? And it's like ever since the Raiders and Rams left in 1994, 95, right? It's like we've been able to live without it, you know? And it's really mostly Raider town here, at least, you know, the last years that they were here. It was a Raider town. My high school is full of Raider gear, Raider hats, Raider jackets, whatever. It's mostly Raiders. I didn't see a lot of Rams stuff. But, no, it's like, this city is more a Laker town. It's an NBA basketball town. Yeah. Football, like, no, we don't seem to care as much. Unless it's the Trojans, I guess. But, yeah. I mean.
And you know, it's funny, the worst thing for the Rams happened really here because the Rams, you know, started out last year, first time in 22 years that they're in Los Angeles, and not only are there, and I said on my podcast a couple weeks ago when the season ended, you know, not only were the Rams so bad, they won't even be interesting. And now you have a situation with San Diego. Look, they were bad this year too, but San Diego's at least interesting. They at least have a star quarterback. You know, they at least have things in their arsenal that they can at least market to that to that market. And I think the Chargers could eat at some of the Rams or some of the Los Angeles fan base, people who are green and people who are free agents in terms of like being able to pick a team to root for. Because the one of the things the Rams did wrong last year was the fact that not only were they bad, they were not remotely interesting. In fact, I remember asking friends and family in L.A., you know, week 9, week 10, are the Rams even getting some play on radio? And everybody said, no, no one cares anymore. They're really terrible and no one's talking about them. And this is the first year of football in 20-some years. I mean, that's sick.
You know how it is when a new thing comes, like they're interested for the first few weeks, and then once they see that it's not great,
right? But it shouldn't be so in the first year of the team coming back. I mean, that should be maybe 6 years on the road. That's the first year back.
Yeah, I mean, again, we didn't have football here for 22 years, and like even after like the second year, the Raiders and Rams weren't here. It's like it's just whatever. It's like, oh, well, it's a bunch of Cowboys and the Packers and the Niners or whatever.
Right.
So. It's like we just didn't care that they left, you know?
It's clear.
There's a reason why they left.
Yeah, it's clear the NFL wants football in L.A. It's clear because they're finding any which way to have teams plural with them. So, and they're that. You know, I'm just concerned that, you know, do people really give a shit anymore about football, pro football, the large scale in Los Angeles? I mean, a lot of people say yes, but, you know, how do you lose two teams then in the same year in the 90s? I mean, that to me, that's about my mind that Los Angeles, one of the 2, 3, 4 biggest cities in the country, couldn't hold both their football teams. But yet the Bay Area can?
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I've always seen the Chargers of San Diego. So this is going to be weird once the next season starts. It's going to be really weird to hear about the Los Angeles Chargers, or I don't know, the San Diego Chargers of Los Angeles. You know, that makes no sense, just like the, you know, Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim for baseball. And, you know, it's really weird because, like, I was telling a friend about this on Twitter recently, and you guys made fun of me for not being into the NFL a year and a half ago. You and G. Steele were making fun of me on your podcast. But I used to be an NFL addict, and the last 3 years, I just haven't been. Because of a lot of, you know, a lot of things in the front office, and the play has declined this year. The ratings are lower, as our friend Jason Klingscales on Yard Barker wrote. So, is football here to stay? Is the NFL going to last 10, 20 more years? Is it gonna, how is this going to go?
You mean, is the NFL going to be, is it going to stay in LA, you mean? Is that what you're asking?
In sport, the sport in general.
Well, that's a good question because like last couple of years, especially the it's been on a scrutiny in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For, you know, CTE and you know violence and all that stuff. And I've said for a couple of years now, I think the NFL's peaked in terms of popularity. The only one of the few reasons why the NFL is still, you know, king, I think fantasy football has added a dynamic to the game that garners interest. I think gambling has made the NFL still huge. And I think that's why the Vegas thing is a huge deal, because if the Raiders do go to Vegas, some of my sources I talk to that are close to the situation say that that's almost a done deal. That adds now a new dynamic, you know, hosting Super Bowls there in the future, because, you know, you get new team equals new stadium. New stadium equals Super Bowls. The Super Bowl equals, you know, in the gambling cap of the country. It's a match made in heaven for football, and it keeps sustainability for the sport. But you know it's funny. Like I still get stunned. You know, I know I said a little while ago, but I still get stunned that, you know, as big a market as LA is, that they have a hard time garnering interest. And I know there's many. And look, I live in a market where there's a lot to do, you know, in South Florida. You know, if your team's not good or interesting, people will find something else to do. You just, look, we live in great weather cities and whatnot, so we'll go to the beach or we'll do something else. But Los Angeles is Los Angeles. You know, it's Tinseltown. There's, you know, sports should still be at least priority number two. And yet, you know, outside the Lakers, and always the Lakers have been, always the Lakers are so huge now because of the fact that the names they've had through the years and success. It's a generational now for the Lakers, you know. Outside that, you know, who are the biggest teams in the market? Lakers, Dodgers, USC. That's all generational. UCLA, that's all generational. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I understand why it's hard to make a splash here and because of the interest and whatnot, but it still boggles my mind that LA hasn't been able to garner enough interest to keep football interesting in LA. And I'm really curious now with the Chargers going in now and, you know, the Rams first year in, and obviously a failure the first year in. I'm curious in 10 years how this project will look like. I'm curious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both NFL in LA and NFL in general because, man. Yeah, like football
The NFL's force feeding this thing. Say what you want. Roger Goodell and company, you know, they streamlined this. They helped LA get teams, plural. They had their hand in this also too. You know, San Diego, not surprising they couldn't keep a team because look, San Diego is a little more of a glamorous city. I don't look at San Diego as a sports town anyway, and you know, when they don't prioritize the stadium, then look, Jack Murphy Stadium, the stadium they play it now currently, is a hellhole. I mean, it's been around for a long time. If you're not prioritizing stadiums in your city, then obviously that's your ticket out of a city. And San Diego doesn't value their team really that much, unfortunately.
Yeah. So the divisionals are coming up this weekend. Yeah, we're still kind of interested in the NFL. I still kind of am, I guess. So we have the Seahawks and the Falcons, the Bachelors of the Birds, Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the Texans and the Patriots as well. And then on Sunday, we have the Steelers and the Chiefs and the Packers and the Cowboys. Who do you see coming out of those four games?
Well, I'm bringing my picks out today, actually, on the blog and whatnot. And right now, I mean, the pass game's easy. The pass game's easy. Who's going to win that game? Tom Brady, you can say what you want. That guy is the GOAT. I mean, that guy is what a quarterback should be and emulate. The Pats should win this game very easily on Saturday night. I'll be honest with you, and people, I told some of my friends, privately all week long. You know, I know Seattle's reputation the last couple of years has what it's been, and they've been the model of consistency for the last 5 years in the NFC. But what I've seen with the Seahawks the last 4 or 5 weeks, you know, toward the end of the year, is very concerning. And look, I know they beat Detroit on last week in the wild card round pretty soundly, but again, they beat a Detroit team that's dead man walking for the last 3 or 4 weeks. I think the Falcons blow the doors off the Seahawks on Saturday. I just have a funny feeling. And I'm a guy who has publicly been excoriating on the Falcons and whatnot for years. I made enemies on social media from fans and media alike about how tough a man on the Falcons. And by the way, I've made enemies, and yet I've turned out to be correct in the end. But this time around, this Falcons team feels different. Matt Ryan is an MVP candidate. They found balance in their offense. Their defense, while not elite, much better than it's been in the years past. And they are seeking revenge from that week. I think it was week 5 they played, where Seattle pretty much got gifted a win at home against Atlanta. I think Atlanta being at home, I think they're energized. I think Seahawks are kind of a dead man walking too. They don't have Earl Thomas, obviously. I think they exposed that secondary in that game. I think Atlanta blows the doors off the Seahawks this week. This game smells bad, dude. It just smells bad.
So you're going against the mantra of do not trust Atlanta sports, right? Because obviously the Falcons in the past, and you know the Atlanta Hawks in the NBA, trust those teams.
And I still don't trust them today. Even though, even if, as I am I proved to be correct in this situation where I pick Atlanta to win the way I think they're going to win? This is going to be my first next week, the week after. I mean,
right.
Hey, you finally wised up.
Right. Yeah.
The Sunday games, I'll tell you what. I'm thinking Kansas City to beat the Steelers, but really the only reason I'm really I feel confident about that pick is because I actually took KC to go to the AFC title game before the year started. So I want to be right. I want to be right. So I'm going based on that. Pittsburgh is a dangerous team though, but again, in the cold, it's not really good for the Steelers, so they play in the cold to themselves, but Arrowhead Stadium is one of the three hardest places in the NFL to play at.
Yeah.
Seattle, the Lynx, one. Foxborough's another one. Superdome's another one. And Arrowhead is my top four. And KC might be the most, the Chiefs are the most, of the 18 remaining in the playoffs, they might be the most balanced of all eight because they are good on all three phases. Offense, defense, special teams. And they can score in any different way possible. And because of that fact, they have an advantage, you know, over Pittsburgh. They can probably hang with with New England, even on the road. I think KC's dangerous. And I think they finally win this game at home on Sunday. And then the last game, the Packers and the Cowboys. This game is tough, really, but this is the way I see it right now. Dallas is a better team. There's no question about that. Dallas is a better team. You know, if you go through the sales tape, who has a better O-line? Dallas. Better running back? Dallas. But the only issue is that other team, Green Bay, has Aaron Rodgers, who I've...
yeah.
I mean, can I curse real quick on the show?
Sure. He's dead. Go ahead.
Aaron Charles Rodgers is the baddest mother on the planet right now in the NFL, period. He is the baddest guy on the planet, okay? He's what Mike Tyson was years ago in his peak because he is that damn good. To me, Aaron Rodgers is the most talented quarterback we have ever seen play in this game. Not the best.
He makes those Hail Mary Jesus Joseph look so easy, right?
Ray,
like,
Ray, yeah,
he
Ray,
just throws it.
Ray, I'm a Giants fan. Trust me, I'm still bitter about what happened on Sunday. I'm a Giants fan, okay? I'm still bitter, okay? But Aaron Rodgers is the most talented quarterback I've ever seen play this game. And to me, I think he's the MVP. I think if you look at MVPs, look, I think Derek Carr should win it personally, but I mean, if you're going to go Derek Carr, I think Aaron Rodgers has a case for it. I'm going to lean Dallas right now. I'm going to lean Dallas, but I'll tell you what, by kickoff, you can talk me into Green Bay by kickoff. You really could.
Yeah. In the beginning of the season, I had Pats and Packers, which seems like an easy pick, right? Like, Pats, Tom Brady, Packers, Aaron Rodgers. But, like, I don't know, because I'm not as an addict in the NFL as I used to be. Like, I didn't think I would see Dallas win 13 games this year. Like, that came out of nowhere.
Yeah, right? And you know, and they had three losses, but one of those losses really, is really a wash because they didn't even play the starters.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, right now, I'm picking towards Patriots and Cowboys for the Super Bowl before the playoffs. But, you know, in the interest of being want to be completely right, yeah, I want the Packers to win.
So, well, I'll be honest with you. I'm a huge Aaron Rodgers fan. I want him to win the whole thing now.
Well, here's the thing also.
Remember this.
I'm a Niners guy, and I wanted Aaron Rodgers. Like, yeah. And, you know, every Niner wanted Aaron Rodgers. And it was just so weird how he dropped all the way down to number 24 or whatever pick the Packers picked him on, you know?
Well,
and I think there'll be some sort of irony here if KC and Green Bay go all the way to the Super Bowl, right?
That is true, yeah. Yeah, because of the Alex Smith Aaron Rodgers thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Alex Smith turned out to be, it took him a while, but, you know, when you have, like, shuffling coaches each year, it's hard to get good. And
Alex,
he finally got good.
Alex Smith, you know, look, it's not sexy at all. I said the last couple of years, actually, though, know, you won't see it in the stat book, but he just gets, look, Alex Smith will not lose you games. Okay? Would you rather have him or Brock Osweiler right now? You'd rather have Alex Smith. Okay?
He's
a good quarterback. He's a good quarterback.
he's a classic old school quarterback because like he's not out there trying to throw everything, right? He's just doing checkdowns. And that's fine, you know. Montana used to do checkdowns. He'll throw a long ball once in a while, but that's how old school quarterbacking used to be, right? So
yeah. He makes a smart play, the smart football play. And what's wrong with that? And look, what's wrong with that? They're winning games doing that. Like, why is that an issue? People are so overcritical about that. Look, he's doing his job to the best of his ability, and he's done a great job in KC. He's been very good in KC. He's not Tom Brady, but not everybody's Tom Brady either. You know, Alex Smith is doing the right thing. He's doing a good job.
Yeah, because they're basically saying, oh, well, because he's not the... You know, modern. He's not the modern quarterback. Yeah,
overrated.
But I mean,
that's overrated.
Come on.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
By the way, your Niners need a lot of work. Oh my God, that's a disaster in itself.
I'm not even sure if I want to even talk about that. Like, it's so awful.
I just thought I'd slip it in there. You know, just kind of a little bit. I mean, I know you're not really passionate about the NFL anymore. But I can still throw some salt there a little bit, just kind of like rub it in a little bit.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, I remember when the Timotei days, and it's like, oh, now you're here to call it Kaepernick 2 win days and whatnot. It's
well,
like,
goodness. I have history. I hate the Niners. I mean, because you know, growing up as a kid, that was one of the Giants' biggest rivals. You know, games to go to the Super Bowl against you guys quite a few times. And some of my greatest moments in sports history. And some of my worst moments in sports history are all shared by Giants-Niners battles. Obviously, the greatest one is the 1990 NFC title game where we knocked out Montana and then we stopped the three-peat. Unfortunately, my worst moment in sports history happened to be 2002 wildcard game.
Mm-hmm.
Where we were up 3-14 and then we blew the lead in the second half. And that was the one time in my life where I missed the Super Bowl or missed the entire playoffs because I was so livid with the way the Giants played that I actually missed the entire playoffs after that.
Shout out to Ty Street, wherever he is right now.
Shut up. shut your hole.
That's the funny thing because my brother and I were discussing about this recently where my brother said that the Giants were the first football team he hated because of that game. Same here, because we watched it.
Just kidding.
we watched this where Roger Craig fumbled the ball. We remember this. And then
yeah,
Matt Barr made the field goal. We remember this, man.
Yeah.
You know? But my most, quote-unquote, hated team these days is the Cowboys.
Of course.
92 conference finals and then 93 conference finals as well.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever you are, Alvin Harper, I will shake your hand. But I wish I could slap it also because you kind of you're the one that basically stopped the Niners from making the Super Bowl. So,
yeah, that was a imagine it's funny because people forget you know Steve Young was phenomenal and you know I call Aaron Rodgers the most talented quarterback of all time. I think Steve Young's number two on my list of most talented quarterback of all time. I mean, he's definitely a top 10 in my eyes all time quarterback.
Yeah.
So talented. But imagine this. Now, Steve Young has three rings, actually. Not one. He has three. Granted, two was a backup to Montana, the 88 and the 89, 90 rings. But imagine if San Francisco actually won those two title games and played Buffalo in the Super Bowl those years.
And
assume they beat Buffalo. Can you imagine how history would reward or... Well, talk about Steve Young and the Niners franchise. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. Okay, so pretend Montana three-peats, right? Let's say the Giants didn't exist from that year. I'm kidding. And then Steve Young beats the Cowboys 2 years in a row. Right? Like, wow. That's three titles right there.
Well, Montana would have been the quarterback for the three-peat, and then he'd probably be back for the next season, and then we don't know what happens there. See, when Montana got hurt in that game... That game pretty much ended his career. He came back a year and a half later, but by then Steve Young was a starter, and they were looking at Trey Montana out of there. So
Yeah. So Montana's going to get hurt. He'd have five rings, and I don't know if they'll make a transition to Steve Young by then. But
do you think maybe Buffalo that first Super Bowl? I don't know. Buffalo that first year was really good, man.
That was probably their best team, honestly. Buffalo Bills.
I would say that one, and the second one too.
They lost to the Washington team. Mark Rippon.
Mark Rippon.
Yeah.
Who I'm starting my podcast with one day.
That's fantastic. Yeah, so, man. And then I'm also, and the Packers I used to hate once upon a time too, because Brett Favre beat the Niners 95 and...
Yep, 95-96.
I think nearly 4 straight years. I think 97 also. I don't
remember.
But so I did not like them for a while as well. Because it seemed like they were on their way to another Niners-Cowboys conference final. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one happened. And then Brett Favre said, nope.
And it would have been Niners Steelers. Well, I'm not sure if it would have been Niners Steelers, but that would have been the desired matchup for me, because the Cowboys were pretty good that year. They were the number one seed. So, Barry Switzer. God, 90s football. Wow.
Yeah, you know what's funny though? that whole era for me, honestly, and I remember watching NFL a lot back then too. But that whole era was a blur for me, honestly, from 96 on. Probably to 99-2000. Kind of a blur. A little bit of a blur for me.
99, I believe, was what? The Rams, Greg Schoen turf? Right?
The 99 was the Rams. That was the Rams-Titans. The one thing that Jeff Fisher got right, the Titans. You know, he lost the football. One thing he did right in his career. Mm-hmm. But that, yeah, that whole era, that late 90s, football was a little boring for me. I always remember it. I remember what happened. I know who won and everything, but it doesn't stand out to me like the early 90s did, or the late 80s, or even certainly 2000s now. It's weird.
This is Adam Jacoby, and if you're looking for a morality play, check out Ray Ray is Fundamental.
Is off. The Rams get down so nobody scores. And don't you worry, cause the Rams are rapping. When game time comes, we'll be back to dancing. We can't sing and our dance is not pretty, but we'll do our best for the team and the city. So get on your feet and clap your hands. Let's ram it right now with the LA Rams.
Hollywood handsome, Dodge City tough. If you throw it my way, it's gonna get rough. I like to ram it, as you can see. Nobody likes ramming any more than me. They call me Z.
I feel like everything after 98 seems like a blur. Like after the Bulls won 6 titles, and then the NBA seemed like a blur after that, right?
That's weird coming from your mouth, because you're a Lakers fan, and
Yeah, I know, but it's still not as... I mean, we remember the Lakers winning 3 titles, but they weren't exactly the most exciting team, although I did love the Kings-Lakers battles.
Well, I agree with you, because I think, you know, for me, especially being a Miami Heat fan, like, to me, post-Jordan, like, literally, 99-2000 to, like, 2000... I would say 2004 is a blur also. Like, I'll admit, if there was a time in my life where I wasn't a, oh my god, sports fan all the time, I watch sports all the time, it was from 99-2000 to 2004.
Yeah, just like everything just seemed to go by, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it was just a weird time, I guess. Like, we were in our because we were in our 20s and we were out there partying and stuff like that.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, you know, like you because you watched sports as a kid, and then you start getting friends and you got these interests. For me, I was in a band, so I started doing music. So I had other things that was going on in my life, and yeah, I still watched sports, but it wasn't the everyday thing like I do now or what I did back in my teen years. You know what I'm saying? You know.
I was going to anime convention during that time.
There you go.
And I had a girlfriend around that time. Yeah, surprise, I had a girlfriend back then.
I met anybody back then. I think I was single. I think it was I had one girlfriend, but I mean, other than that, it was nothing really going on in my life. I was so driven focus on my music and stuff back then. Wow, what a dork I am. Or was. Or still am.
Was it a rock band, or was it a doo-wop kind of group?
No, it was a rock band. It was a metal band, actually. It was a metal band.
Okay, metal band. Okay. Awesome. Dude.
Actually, fun fact, I actually did play in a Christian rock band for a little while back in 98, 99.
Do you still play now?
I don't play regularly. I will like to get back into it at some point. Be nice to do some studio stuff, you know, whatnot. I'm not interested in playing in a traveling band that's touring and stuff, but I wouldn't mind playing studio stuff and writing music with friends and stuff. It'd be cool.
Hey, dude, if Girl Talk from Full House can get back together, then you can get your band back together.
That is true. Girl Talk gets together, then it's time for my own get up on my bass and stuff. And start. Yeah, hell yeah, dude.
Oh,
good,
man.
Good reference, man. Good reference talk.
We apologize, by the way, for not having Girl Talk with the Gal Talk Squad for a while, but they'll be back next week. I know some of you guys like to listen to that stuff, but
I enjoy the girl talk.
Yeah, because the entire thing started, like, I've always had a Gal Pal Squad, by the way, like, since, I don't know. So what happened was that 2011, I believe. So I'm out with my friends out in NorCal, right? Somebody asked me, hey, so who else are you here to see? And I'm here to see my friend Rachel. Shout out to Rachel. Yeah, and then my friend's like, oh, who's Rachel? Is she your gal pal? And I'm like, and I haven't heard that term in years, probably, right? And I'm like, who the hell uses gal pal? I go on Twitter. Hey, who uses gal pal? Because I don't really hear that term at all, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Joanne Pittenfan on Twitter, she was like, I'll be part of your gal pal squad. And I'm like, huh? And then it kind of exploded from there. It's like suddenly my other gal pals on Twitter just like started like, I want to be part of the gal pal squad too. We sound like superheroes.
You're
like,
taking recruits, man. That's awesome.
I'm like, okay, sure. You can be part of the gal pal squad. All you have to do is just talk to me. Easy as that. Like, you have to just be, I just go to you when I need something. Like, you know, like, I need advice, stuff like that, whatever.
Yeah.
And the whole girl talk thing, because I was in Oregon, I had two female housemates, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then because I guess I'm more feminine than most of the guys out there, whatever, and I have more in common with the women. Usually, like, we just sit down for breakfast, us three on the table, right? And we just start talking about our love lives or lack thereof or whatever. We start talking, right? And then, one of the guys came up to us, right? He was like, ooh, what are you guys talking about? And then one of my female houses was like, hey, this is girl talk. Step off. And then he just looked at me. It's like, really? Girl talk? Okay, sure, whatever, you know?
I'll tell you what, man. Before I got married, before I met my wife, dude, some of my closest friends are girls. So, you know, it's one of those things where, like, you can, if you want great conversation, you better have friends that are girls than guys. Guys are a little more simple. Now you get married, it's a little different now. But when I was single, man, some of the best conversations I had about life was with women. I mean, because they're a little more intuitive about that kind of stuff, man. They're a little more, I guess, on the level a little bit, intelligent-wise. I'm not saying guys are stupid. I'm just saying that, you know, women are more apt to wanting to have a conversation with you about life and about details and stuff. And, you know, and it's a good mix.
Yeah, I understand, like, what lanes people want to take. You know, like, I have two of my best guy friends here, but, like, they don't want to talk about that stuff. They just want to talk about sports or video games and whatnot. And that's perfectly fine with me, you know? Then I don't have to tell you my problems or whatever's going on. I just go to the gal pal squad and talk to them about it. Like, hey, so this is going on.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know.
I'm always on the women for advice about life most of the time because they seem to have the best advice. And actually, they always seem more concerned. more taking your advice and what they give out seriously than, say, a guy would. I can totally relate to that. Now I got my wife. Now, see, it's easy when I have a marriage. Yeah, I got my wife. I have advice. I need advice. And I go to her, and she tells me what's the best course of action to do on whatever I'm thinking or concerned about.
Yeah. So, shout out to the Gal Pal Squad. So, that's Joanne. That's Sarah Moon. That's Rachel. What Amara up, Baptist.
Rachel? What up, Joanne?
Yeah, Amara Baptist, who I call Adriana, because she says she'll see, like, Adriana Lima that one time, so I started calling her Adriana.
Adriana Lima.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah.
But Amara's cool. I'd even say KC Sager's part of my Gal Pal squad now. And Chris and Ledlow as well. So
right.
They're more the prominent Gal Pals in my life now.
Right.
So this turned really deep. So, well, then again, it's always been deep since we talked about Trump, we talked about football, we talked about the Gal Pals. So, EJ, is there anything else you want to talk about before we end this thing?
Well, there's one topic here that I will say one thing here before you go, because it is late.
it is late.
I have to give a quick shout out to James Harden. Right now he's an MVP. He's been phenomenal this year. He has really so well this year. He's done this. I mean, hopefully this is a trend moving forward, but. He's done the thing now I've asked him to, I didn't ask him personally, but he's done the thing that I've always said, okay, for James Harden to become a guy I can trust and want to build a championship team around, or Houston for that matter, to do that, he would need to do X, Y, and Z, and James Harden has started to become that guy now. He's been phenomenal this year. Mike D'Antoni right now is my coach of the year. The Rocks have been a complete surprise. Not that they're a playoff team, that how well they've been this year. And I got to tell you, James Harden and the Rockets and what they've done this year so far. I've been very critical of James Harden in the past, but I'm one of those people who say that I'm critical of you, but if you do well, I will praise you. And James Harden deserves a lot of praise right now for the way he's been playing this year.
Do you think that Mike D'Antoni doesn't get enough credit for how the way the NBA is played right now? Because it's all pace and space. It's all three-pointers. It's all get the shot off early.
Is he getting enough credit or not enough credit?
Not enough credit.
Well, I mean, he's doing what was expected. This roster is actually more conducive to what he had in Phoenix, I guess, in comparison to what he's done in New York and in L.A., certainly.
But I'm talking about the entire league, and that's the way it plays now.
Oh no, he doesn't have credit because his ring. He hasn't won a ring. He hasn't won a title. He hasn't been in the finals. So because of the lack of even playing for a championship, you know how sports fans are now in 2016, 2017. You know, if you have no ring, then there's no credit to be given to you, and it which really sucks because you know it's so short sighted. There's been so many great teams and great people and great players and great coaches that haven't won big, but they were great contributors to the game. And Mike D'Antoni absolutely was a major contributor to the game of basketball, especially in the last 10, 15 years with the pace and space and 7 seconds or less and all that. He made basketball exciting. Now, I've been critical about him for years because I'm a guy that believes in the balance. Like, I believe that defense wins championships. And he's always been a guy that hasn't really prioritized, or at least seems like he hasn't prioritized defensive basketball. So that's where my criticism came from of D'Antoni through the years. But
right.
He does deserve more credit for what he's done in the last 10, 15 years in terms of influencing the game of basketball, making it more exciting, of course. And especially what he's done this year with this coaching of the Houston Rockets team so far. He's been great. Right now, he's my coach of the year.
I've mentioned on the past, and I mentioned on Twitter as well, that Mike D'Antoni is to the NBA how is like ECW to wrestling. And I might as well add Nirvana to music. Because, you know, in a way it's groundbreaking. And, you know, now a lot of teams are copying him, right? A lot of teams have D'Antoni principles in their playbook. And look at WWE now with when they went on that extended run where they had ECW elements and of course music, Nirvana, you know what Nirvana's done to music. So
right.
Yeah. So that's how I liken D'Antoni to.
Yeah. That's a good analogy. It really is. And you know, I tell you what, if he leaves this in the finals this year or at some point before his career's over, I think you'll hear more praise for D'Antoni. You really would. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, he's a good basketball coach. Is he Phil Jackson or Greg Popovich or, you know, those guys of that ilk? No. He's not Pat Riley? No. But he's a good basketball coach.
Yeah. Exactly. And by the way, the Rockets have been playing top 10 defense since Patrick Beverley came back. So, we might want to give Patrick Beverley a look for Defensive Player of the Year as well, since he's turned around at Rockets defense.
Hey, man, you're covering the league very well. Right now, you're covering the league better than I am right now. So, so with my schedule these days, so I tell you what, man, I mean, if you say it, I believe it.
And with that, I think we should end this late night podcast, which you should hear in the morning or in the afternoon or so. So, EJ, go ahead and pub your social media, pub your internet work, pub whatever else you need to pub.
Well, my podcast, of course, Urban Speaking Podcast, you can find on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, all that jazz stuff. My website, the blog, of course, Urban Speaking the blog at urbanspeaking.co, which, by the way, we might be changing the URL in the next coming weeks or so. But, you know, in the meantime, go over there to that site. I also have a new podcast that I've been doing. It's Urban Speaking Daily, although I may change it to Urban Speaking Minute. It's like a daily podcast. It's a 1 minute podcast, daily podcast. That's me giving commentary on a topic for a day, a sports topic maybe, or even a pop culture topic or something, but something for 1 minute commentary for the day. All that stuff you can find on the website at earnestthinking.co.
All right, so since Adam Jacoby is not here today, I'm going to end the podcast with this. There's no need to be bugging when it's a Ninja Turtle that you're hugging. Thanks for wasting my time, EJ.
Thanks, man. Game over,
yeah! Hashtag blame Ray Ray.
Moded.